Happy Saturday, Nashville. Welcome, Andy, Michelle, and Junie. Michelle Knezovic, Junie Riddle, Nick Frazier with us. They are live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios this morning. If you want to weigh in on our text line all show long, because we know you fans want to talk about a lot, we're going to have a full NFL draft recap today on rounds 1 through 3 from the Tennessee Titans. So text us, call us. We'll be taking your thoughts all show long, 615-737-1025. It has been a wild last couple of days with the NFL draft. Junie, how are we doing this morning?
Oh, we're doing really good, Michelle.
Frazier was flagging me down here. So we're doing really good, Michelle. Last night was awesome out at Wingstop. We had a huge turnout. The wings were excellent. They were giving out free samples. And on top of that, the Titans probably made one of the biggest splash moves of the draft. So it was absolutely awesome to see. And we are going to get in a full recap. And everything that I have seen on Titans Twitter so far has been nothing but a huge reaction. So I cannot wait to get the vibe of the fan base today after yesterday's day two selections.
Frazier, how are we doing this morning?
We are rocking and rolling here in Nashville. Can't complain. How are y'all doing is the real question.
Guys, rocking and rolling, and I think that's going to be the motto of the show today. We are rocking and rolling because I know that the fan base has a lot of mixed opinions, mixed feelings on the draft picks that the Tennessee Titans have made thus far in rounds 1 through 3. So kicking off the first round, 11th overall, the Tennessee Titans draft Peter Skoronski. So I think how we're going to do this, we'll do the first segment this morning. I know if you join us on Saturdays, we like to do our morning brew. We'll do a morning brew draft edition. So we're going to go through every player that they've drafted. We'll give our thoughts, and then we're going to get specifically into the quarterback position, because I know that that's something that Titans Twitter has gone crazy on. We want to hear from you fans on how you're feeling this morning. So like I said, phones, text line, 615-737-1025. We'll be taking the thoughts all show long this morning. But first off, this happened on Thursday night. The Tennessee Titans, 11th overall. There were some rumors that the Tennessee Titans were trying to make a trade up to that 3 spot with the Arizona Cardinals. The Houston Texans go ahead and draft C.J. Stroud at 2. Then it was reported by Diana Rossini that after C.J. Stroud was drafted at 2, the Tennessee Titans withdrew their offer to move up to 3. And then the Houston Texans traded back into that 3rd spot with the Arizona Cardinals, and they ended up drafting Will Anderson Jr. So that happened. We wait all the way to 11. We think the Tennessee Titans are going to draft Will Levis in the first round after Anthony Richardson was off the board of the Colts at 4. And at 11, the Tennessee Titans draft Peter Skoronski, offensive lineman out of Northwestern. Junie, Peter Skoronski has been a guy that you have been high on this entire draft process. He's a player that has been regarded as one of the best offensive linemen in this draft. Yes, a guard position, but what did you see in him, and how do you think he can be a good fit right away for this Tennessee Titans team and be a starter day one?
So I don't necessarily know if he's going to be a guard or not. I mean, this guy played left tackle at Northwestern, and to NFL standards, you know, he has, you know, shorter arms that a typical left tackle has. But I think with his speed, his quickness with his feet, I think he would be able to play the position. He would fit perfectly at right tackle with his size, and I think he could play on that side as well. He could play guard. He could even play center. You know, Northwestern is known for putting out really good talent. I know Rashawn Slater came out a few years ago to the Los Angeles Chargers, and he's been a dynamic player for them to even in his rookie year, he became one of the better left tackles in the league. So Northwestern is known for putting out good offensive line talent, and I think when you look at the Tennessee Titans and what they needed to address, the offensive line, in my opinion, was the number one thing. I know everybody is screaming for a wide receiver, but no wide receiver is going to catch a pass if the quarterback doesn't have time in the pocket. This guy was the best offensive line prospect that was out there. You can plug and play him on any position. And with as many injuries as we have seen with the Titans offensive linemen last year, having a guy that is flexible enough to move into any position and be a Swiss Army knife, and also just have that upside to where he is going to be in this league for a long time. I think they made the perfect choice at 11 with going with Peter Skoronski. It's the pick that I have been screaming about that they should go and get for months. It was the pick that I gave Jim Wyatt for his media poll, and I was right. And I was super excited that they got this guy, and I think he is going to be a great Tennessee Titan for years to come.
Well, and Junie, I think one of the things, too, to mention, and after they made the pick at 11, Ram Carthon and Mike Vrabel had a press conference, and essentially they said that, you know, he is there also to compete potentially for that left tackle position with Andre Dillard. It's not set in stone that he will be the left tackle. So they have a bunch of different guys. I mean, if we take a look at the offensive line right now, let's just say Andre Dillard is the left tackle. So you've got left tackle. Maybe you put Peter Skoronski in at left guard. You've got Brewer at center. At right guard, you got Brunskill. And then at right tackle, you got PT, Nicholas Petit-Frere. So, you know, this offensive line is starting to look completely different than it was last year. I understand that the biggest part in the way your offensive line becomes successful and great is working together and being able to mesh and come together. So they're going to need a lot of reps together because it's a completely new offensive line. But I think fans, you're starting to see what this team is trying to build. And I can definitely say Ryan Tannehill is probably very happy with that 11th overall pick.
I would definitely agree with that. I think Tannehill has to be pleased with getting a guy like this. You know, the Cowboys last year drafted in the late round a Tulsa tackle, Tyler Smith. I believe Tyler Smith is eventually going to be their left tackle, but he played a lot of guard this year. So you got to understand this about offensive linemen. Offensive lineman is a much more skilled position than what people think. You know, it's going to take time for him to adjust to the NFL level, and a lot of times these guys come in and they do play guard, and then eventually they bump out to tackle. So the fact of the matter is we can't judge this kid based off of what he's going to be his rookie year. So he's going to develop, and offensive linemen typically take a little bit longer to mature in the process, and it's typically around year 4 or 5 when they really reach that peak of what they are going to be as an offensive lineman. So, you know, whether he plays guard his rookie year, that doesn't mean that he can't move out to tackle later on. So it's just way too early to kind of judge and gauge, you know, what kind of position he is, you know, where he was picked. I just see him plain and simple as the offensive line for the Titans was the biggest weakness of this team this past year. They addressed it with the guy with the most upside in this year's draft. He can plug and play anywhere. It was a great pick, and it is a start of a good rebuild of this offensive line. You got to be happy about it. I know it's not quarterback. I know it's not receiver, but it's what this team needed.
Well, one of the biggest surprises out of night one of the draft, after the Tennessee Titans made their pick at 11, each pick we saw go by. Junie, you and I were watching the draft together at your place, and Will Levis starts to slip and slip. And, you know, the draft, it starts to get later and later, and they're showing video of him in the green room. And I would say this has probably been one of the biggest surprises in a very long time in the NFL draft. I mean, I can't remember a quarterback who was viewed as high as, I mean, some people had them as their number one quarterback in this entire draft class. And for him to slip completely out of the first round, I mean, I woke up Friday morning because I fell asleep and was pretty shocked that a team didn't try to trade back into the first round. But then on Friday morning, reports started to come out from Tom Pelissero saying that teams actually did try to trade back in to the first round, and I would assume to go and get a Will Levis. And then your Steelers, a glorious trade earlier this year with the Chicago Bears and Chase Claypool, you get the first pick in the second round, Junie, and teams are texting and they're calling the Steelers to try and get that pick. The Steelers ended up keeping their pick and they ended up drafting, Junie, tell us.
Joey Porter Jr., his father won a Super Bowl, Super Bowl 40 with the Steelers, and he was an excellent, excellent edge rusher. So it's a great pick by the Steelers, but, you know, following that pick, you know, it was the Arizona Cardinals, and we know that connection with Monty Austin for, you know, being in the front office, you know, here with Tennessee, and then he gets hired as a GM out there in Arizona, and he makes a trade with his former team. And they made up the move to go get it. I honestly, I didn't think the Titans were going to be the team to trade up and go and get their guy, Will Levis. But, what an astounding move. What a big move. And I'm seeing so much criticism about the Titans' draft so far this year. And I think when you kind of put it in perspective, they got Peter Skoronski and Will Levis. Both of these guys, by majority accounts of draft experts, were supposed to be top 10 picks. And you only traded up a fourth-round pick to go get both of these guys. And you got them both outside of the top 10. I would say the first two draft picks for the Titans were excellent.
Well, and the funny thing is, and we're going to get into the Will Levis pick and the Tyree Sharp pick as well. But I mean, the funny thing is, I feel like if you were to tell the fan base earlier this week, maybe on Tuesday, Wednesday, and say, hey, you're going to get Will Levis and Peter Skoronski, I think it would be like, what? We're going to get both of them? How are we going to get both of them? And you're not going to get both of them in the first round. I mean, I feel like the vibe around the fan base, they'd be like, no way. Like, that's not happening. Like, there's no way. Both guys have been regarded as a top 10, a top 15 pick. And you're also not going to give up the entire farm to go and get them. Will Levis, the Tennessee Titans, traded up to 33 overall and ended up drafting quarterback out of University of Kentucky, my favorite school. Will Levis. We have a lot of texts on the text line we want to get to. Junie and I, coming up next, are going to discuss the Will Levis pick and the Tyree Sharp pick. And give us your thoughts. How do you feel about the Tennessee Titans drafting a quarterback in the second round? Will Levis, 615-737-1025. Text line, phone line, all coming up next on Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
The Arizona Cardinals have traded the 33rd pick to the Tennessee Titans. With the 33rd pick in the 2023 NFL Draft, the Tennessee Titans select Will Levis.
No way!
Wow.
They got their quarterback.
The Titans got their quarterback in the second round. The Titans traded to 33, giving up two future third-round picks.
Wow.
They get their quarterback, Will Levis, to the Titans, 33 overall.
You heard him. That was Caroline Fenton, Derek Mason, and Chris Sanders on our draft show last night at Wingstop. Tennessee Titans traded up with the Arizona Cardinals at 33 overall and drafted quarterback Will Levis out of the University of Kentucky. Welcome back in, Michelle and Junie. Michelle Knezvik, Junie Riddle, Nick Frazier with us. They are live from our game studios presented by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. And if you want to watch our beautiful faces streaming today, you can watch us streaming on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Like I said, we want to hear your thoughts on the Tennessee Titans drafting their quarterback, Will Levis, 33rd overall. Junie, if you were to tell me that they got both Peter Skoronski and Will Levis last week and not both of them in the first round, I would have said you were crazy.
No, I mean, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No. You're good. I was just going to go on to say, you know, I flipped on Twitter this morning. I was trying to monitor some of the Twitter responses, some of the fan responses regarding this pick. And people are, saying things like, you know, Rand Carthon should be fired. And I think today what we need to do for the fan base, Junie, is to give them the facts. We need to give them the facts. And we need to say, you know, take a breath. None of these players have even taken a snap in the NFL. Mike Vrabel is a great coach. You just hired a new offensive coordinator. You just got a new quarterback coach from Atlanta and Charles London, right? I think we need to pump the brakes quick, right? And just allow these players to even have an opportunity in your mind. And I understand people are going to be like, Michelle, you're a Kentucky fan. Well, listen, my co-host Junie's a Louisville fan. So all accounts, he shouldn't like Will Levis, and he does. I understand that we are in the state of Tennessee and we have a lot of Tennessee volunteer fans who are also Tennessee Titans fans and do not like this pick based off the what they've seen from Will Levis these last 2 years. But Mike Vrabel, you know, in the press conference last night, he even cut off Gentry Estes and was like, okay, Gentry, let's be real. the the University of Kentucky football team looked night and day different in 2021 versus 2022. Excuse me. And, you know, they see all of these factors. And a lot of the times we can say, well, if they're a great quarterback, they should be able to overcome all of this. Well, these are the guys, Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon, who get paid to do it. And obviously Mike Vrabel wanted Rand Carthon to be his GM for a reason, right? This first draft, you know, what if Will Levis becomes a Josh Allen? I mean, Josh Allen was a turnover machine in college. Big Ben had a lot of turnovers in college. I mean, you know, Dan Marino did, right? So you look at this and it's not always black and white. And it doesn't mean that if you were a not so great college quarterback towards the end of your career and had a really bad season, that equals failure in the NFL. There is opportunity for people to grow and get better with better coaches and a better team around them.
No, and Michelle, to that point as well, you know, in modern college football, we have seen so many players elect to sit out, you know, when their draft stock is already kind of solidified. We look at a guy like Jackson Smith and Jigba that came in. I mean, he was the wide receiver one off the board. He didn't even play this past year, probably when he could have. And a guy like that gets drafted in the first round, and he sat out the college football playoffs when from most accounts say that he likely could have played. You know, he could have won. He could have helped his team win a national championship, and likely could have been a huge difference in that Georgia game. And he elected to sit out. I look at a guy like Will Levis, who lost his offensive coordinator, who lost two starting offensive linemen to the NFL, who lost his number one wide receiver and was only replaced with young, inexperienced, not high-end talented receivers as well. And he was getting shot up with two different injuries in his foot and in his shoulder. And with the season that he had in 2021, his draft stock and his potential and all the metrics that he had shown were all there. And he likely still could have gotten drafted very high based off of that alone. And he had every excuse to sit out like he did, but he didn't. He didn't believe in his offensive coordinator, who ended up getting fired because he was an awful play caller. And you can attest to that as well, because you watched every single game. I watched probably about half of Kentucky's games and went in and watched the other half, their highlights and the tape after the fact. And just to sit here and see him, you know, battle through that, not give up on his team, go out and fight for his guys, even though he didn't have all the talent around him, and try to compete in a tough SEC, just shows me the determination about this kid that's just different. And you add on the intangibles that he brings, his arm strength. He can throw the ball a mile. I know that doesn't mean anything, but he's mobile. You know, he's a playmaker. He can make big plays. And if you get him in the right system, you know, adjust a few things about his intangibles and just try and limit some of the bad decision making, this guy can be a legit quarterback in the league. You know, I know a lot of people were talking about Anthony Richardson and his potential. Will Levis is slightly under Richardson when it comes to athletics, but they have very similar arm talents. And if you can get him into Tennessee and get him into a really good offensive system and develop him, this guy with his talent could be a really good player if they play this right.
So we have a couple texts on the text line, Junie, I want to get to right now regarding Will Levis and the pick. One texter texts in, they don't text their name, but it says, Michelle, let's not act like Levis is getting Titans fans excited. You're letting your blue show a little bit. Listen, I understand, and I'm going to get that a lot for the next couple of weeks, but I just want you to listen to me. You know, this isn't Will Levis versus Hendon Hooker, right? This is not what this is. Just because the Tennessee Titans in Tennessee drafted Will Levis and not Hendon, like, it's not the two against each other, right? And when you ask a majority of the evaluators, when you ask a majority of coaches and scouts and everything, like, Will Levis is regarded higher when you view them as like a pro. Hendon Hooker was a far better college quarterback, but just because you're a better college quarterback in the offense that he ran, you know, doesn't equal that you're going to be a better pro prospect. So, you know, when people are saying on Twitter and things like that, you know, why didn't we draft Hendon Hooker? He would be better. Like, let's just, like, look at it for what it is right now. right? Mike Vrabel, like, they had the opportunity. And people are saying, I'm never going to root for the Titans, like Vols fans. Okay, well, let's at least give these players a chance. I think that's, like, one thing that just, like, really gets me mad, Junie, is when it isn't even 24 hours after the pick and people are like, I'm not a fan anymore. Like, I want to fire you. Like, let's just, like, I understand. They need wide receivers badly. They need tight ends. They need weapons. But in the draft, and they touched on this a couple times last night, Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel, right? How do you weigh need versus best player on your board? And I know, Junie, you talk a lot about, and you're a Steelers fan, you've watched that organization, like, you have to take best player available rather than need and then plug in those holes afterwards. Not drafting a wide receiver. Listen, when they drafted a running back in the third round who doesn't have an ACL, I was a little like, okay, you know, what weapons are they going to have out there this year? It is concerning. I agree. But there's still a lot of time left. We also have the draft. Rand Carthon was hired here because he was really, really good at getting guys in the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth round. That is why they brought him here, because he was very successful at drafting guys in these later rounds, right? Look at San Francisco. What is that team known for? That team is known for depth. That team is known for hitting on guys like George Kittle, who was a sixth-round pick, or Rand Carthon was a part of that. I understand not everybody's going to become George Kittle, but let's wait and watch how this draft continues to unfold, right? Let's wait and see.
I'll put it out there for this, Michelle. You know, any person on Twitter saying they're not a Titans fan because of a draft pick is not a true Titans fan. Like, you have to sit here and watch these guys develop. You know, Will Levis was a perennial first round graded player by all accounts, by all the professionals. Whether or not he should have been a top 10 pick, whether he should have slid into the later rounds, he was considered a first round prospect. You can't get upset with them for going out and getting a guy like this. This isn't a Malik Willis pick. You know, they picked him with their second third round pick last season. I think it was pick 86 or something like that. And this guy played at Liberty. Will Levis has played at the highest level of college football. Malik Willis couldn't make it in the SEC. That's why he went to a smaller school outside of the Power Five to be able to get a starting job. Will Levis competes in the SEC for a program that's known as a basketball school and that doesn't usually have all the top talent. So give it to Will Levis. Give him a chance. See if this Titans offensive staff can really mold him into the player that he could potentially be, because I really think with the intangibles, his arm strength, his athleticism, it's all there. You just have to mold it. You just have to coach him up, and this could be potentially well. And for a Titans team that ran the same system that they ran at Kentucky, a run-first offense, that can really help a young quarterback come into his own. And on top of that, we have Ryan Tannehill here. He's a serviceable quarterback for the time being. He can sit behind and learn. He doesn't have to get rushed in. And on top of that, being him falling into the second round is only going to add motivation to this kid. He has a good head on his shoulders. I think this, the way everything played out, is going to help him in the long run, and he's going to learn a lot, and I think has the potential to really develop.
The Tennessee Titans selected Will Levis in the second round, quarterback out of Kentucky. We've got a lot of thoughts on the text line. Texas, call us all show long. We want to discuss all of your thoughts on this text line. On the text line, on the phone line, 615-737-1025. And also Tajay Spears, who is a running back out of Tulane. He was the third round draft pick as well, if you want to weigh in on that pick or the Peter Skoronski pick. We're talking all draft today for the rest of the show. 615-737-1025. Michelle and Junie, 1025, 1063, the game.
I don't want these, you know, interactions between us to always feel like we got to take a negative turn. And, you know, this should be a joyous moment for us to praise these kids. This is a moment these kids are going to see this, you know, and this is a moment for them and their families to rejoice in, you know, because it's only going to happen once, you know. We joked, you know, earlier about, Jim and I joked earlier about me not being drafted, you know what I mean? Yeah. Okay. And that's a moment, you know, in my career I can never get back. Coach was drafted in the third round. It's a moment he'll always remember. So let's keep that in mind, you know, when we're talking about these kids and where they've come from and where, because a lot of these kids have overcome a lot. you know, to get to this point, you know. So let's keep that in mind in moments like this. There'll be other times to critique what they've done. These kids haven't even stepped on the NFL field yet, you know. So let's keep that in mind. This is a moment for them and their families to have something to be proud of and enjoy this moment.
Grant Carthon, after the second and third round yesterday, discussing the draft picks, discussing that, hey, let's just pump the brakes. Let's wait till these guys take a snap on the NFL field. Welcome back in, Michelle and Junie. Michelle Knazovic, Junie Riddle, Nick Frazier with us. They are live from our Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios this morning. And if you want to watch us streaming, Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we got a lot of calls. We got a lot of texts we want to get to. We want to get to them all throughout the show today. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. I know we got a caller on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris from Atlanta wants to weigh in on the situation.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I feel like all the good vibes that we had Thursday with Peter Skoronski were almost undone by what happened last night. I mean, yes, we got Will Levis. Yes, we got our quarterback. But I think it's the fact that we traded up to go get him and we cost ourselves a third-round pick that really kind of hurt it. And then we doubled down by drafting a running back out of Tulane. That's just like, did we really need this? We really needed pass catchers. And I know you guys were saying that, you know, Will Levis could be a great quarterback. But I look at the flip side of the coin and go, well, that's great. You've got Will Levis. But if you don't have the pieces around him like he did 2 years ago, for him to succeed, he's not going to be Will Levis. He's going to be the next version of Jake Locker. And I know Titan fans don't want that. So for them to kind of double down and go get a running back instead of a wide receiver, I feel like all the good vibes from Thursday night were completely undone Friday night. And just watching, I know you guys, you know, Michelle, I think you were in the press conference, but just watching it on stream on Facebook, it was very awkward in the comments to see all the negative reactions. It's just like, and for them to say, this was our board, I look and go, well, what was on your board? Because that was not a good board if you're going to go get a running back with your third round pick when you definitely needed wide receivers. So I hear you. You know, we had to give these guys a chance to get on the field. But at the same time, it's like you didn't do enough to really help yourselves later on. So that's my thought. So just want to hear what you guys think. Y'all have a good rest of the day.
Thanks, Chris. Chris is always a great caller. He calls in a lot of our shows. But no, Junie, I think he makes some great points, right? I saw a lot of the comments. I actually watched the press conference back this morning. I saw a lot of the comments. And, you know, a lot of them weren't good. They weren't positive because one of the main problems last year was the weapons. But let's also not forget, too, one of the main problems was the offensive line. And they have made, I mean, they've essentially rebuilt their entire offensive line in one offseason, which is something that we thought maybe could be done. They would have to make some big moves. But you also can't do that for every single position. I agree. When I saw the running back pick, I was a little bit shocked, a little bit surprised. Obviously, Will Levis dropping out of the first round, I believe, had a huge impact as to why the Tennessee Titans drafted him in the second round. You know, you go in and you have some sort of a plan heading into this draft, but then when it's your time to pick or you see an opportunity that you can go and get, you do that. And that's what they did. Them losing a third round pick, yeah, it's tough because you look at this wide receiver room right now, and it's really thin. You look at this tight end room right now, and it's really thin. You look at the weapons. I mean, you have Derrick Henry. You have Hassan Haskins at the running back position. Now you have Tajae Sharpe. You know, at the wide receiver position, you have Treylon Burks. You hope Kyle Phillips is healthy and is able to get out there this year and be somewhat of a factor in the slot position. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, who has been on your team for the last couple of years, a veteran presence in that room. Chris Moore, who you got in free agency. So, you know, yeah, there's not a lot of confidence in that room right now. And I get that. I look at that the same way. But I also, on the flip side, look at if you see that you potentially could have, you know, a generational player at the quarterback position or even the running back position with this team, you are transitioning into moving off of Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. I would not be surprised if this was the last season both of them are on this team, Junie. And, you know, when you begin that transition, you're going to need a quarterback. And fans out there, I understand last night Mike Vrabel said it's Ryan Tannehill, Malik Willis, and Will Levis. But, you know, even now I have more faith in a Will Levis than I do Malik Willis just based off last year. And if this is your last season with Derrick Henry, what is your offense run around? A running back, right? But I get it. You still need more weapons.
So to the caller's point, and there's a lot to dissect there. Will Levis was a projected top 10 pick. The value that he's speaking of is there in the second round. You know, we obviously know the Titans need to look for an option outside of Ryan Tannehill. I mean, he's going to be 35, 36 this upcoming season. And, you know, he's not one of those elite-level guys that's going to be playing up and close into his 40s. So they had to find an option, and Malik Willis, just flat out, he's just not it. He's not it. He is way too far behind in order to do that, and Will Levis is a much better prospect. When it comes to the pass catchers, I think of it this way. You know, Treylon Burks was really banged up last year. I feel like he had a lot left on the table that he could have got, you know, injuries and all that stuff. I think he will be a lot more prepared. And we've already went into it. I don't think Treylon Burks is necessarily going to be your number one wide receiver type, but I think he's going to be definitely your number two and a serviceable receiver that can make big plays. Kyle Phillips, you know, there's a lot to look for this season. I mean, we saw a lot of potential with him in training camp, and he came out in the first game against the New York Giants, and he led the team in receptions and receiving yards. And he looked like he could be really good, and injuries derailed him. So let's look at these pass catchers right here and see what we got. And somebody that no one talks about nowadays is Chika Conquo. That was the whole story last year, was can we get this guy involved? This guy's got a lot of talent. Give Chig the ball. And it wasn't until like halfway through the season that they started doing that. And then you look at the stats at the end of the year, and he's right there numbers-wise with the leading receivers on the entire team. So you get Chig, you get Treylon, you get Kyle Phillips in the mix, and not even to mention this. The free agency class for wide receivers was terrible. Was absolutely terrible. And then you look at the draft this year. A receiver didn't go off the board till pick 20. Previous years, we've been seeing him go in the top 10. This wasn't a great draft class for receivers. It wasn't a good free agency for them either. And on top of that, you have some young guys that you still want to see get the opportunity to do something. There are going to be other veteran players that are going to get cut from teams that could come in and add to the depth at that position. It's just you don't want to reach in the draft for these guys. The guys, the wide receivers that were taken beforehand was Trey Tucker from Cincinnati, a very short, undersized player who has trouble catching and finishing catches that are contested. I don't think that's going to translate to the league. And then a guy from Stanford, his name is Michael Wilson. He's not a very fast receiver, ran a 4.58, which is pretty much almost a 4.6. And he played 14 games in three seasons, so he can't stay healthy. So who did you want the Titans to pick in that slot? I just think Titans fans need to take a deep breath, realize this team is in a transition right now, and let the coach and GM do their job, because there's a lot of unknowns about this team, and these players deserve the opportunity to come out and prove themselves.
Okay, Junie, to your point, I think we have a texter on the text line who hit the nail on the head. They didn't text their name in, so text us your name so we can give you credit. But on the text line, given by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, quote, people complaining about the Titans not drafting a wide receiver in the third round need to realize that if their board only had a fifth and a sixth round wide receiver left, you can't draft a sixth round wide receiver in the third round just because you need a receiver. Most of the receivers have been taken in the second. You do not have a second or third round grade receiver. Wouldn't you take best available instead of reaching for a sixth round guy in the third round just because you need a wide receiver?
I mean, I completely agree with that. I mean, Tajay Sharp is a top five running back in this draft class. Like him at Tulane, he was electric. He was top five in rushing yards in all of FBS. He had 19 touchdowns last year And that's without his ACL. He's a third-round running back pick. If he doesn't make it to contract two, who cares? If he can come in and immediately make plays, Dontrell Hilliard is off the roster. This team needs a third-down running back. And this guy can do it all. I was watching his tape this morning trying to kind of catch up and refresh on him because I only watched maybe one or two Tulane games last year. I watched their bowl game against USC where he had over 200 yards from scrimmage. Yep. This guy is electric. He can run inside the tackles, outside the tackles. I saw him line out as a wideout, line up in the slot. He's running just pure routes, not out of the backfield, catching balls out of the backfield. His vision is excellent. His change of direction is great as well. This is a good, dynamic running back behind him. I get the injuries are there, but again, if you don't have a high-level receiver there and you have one of the better running backs on your board that is there, one of the best running backs in this draft class, you take this guy to compliment Derrick Henry. It's another weapon, and he has game-breaking home run speed. What does Mike Vrabel want? He wants speed. This guy in the open field, he can take it the distance. You got something in that. He is a true weapon, and whether or not he plays for the long term is irrelevant. If he can come in for a couple years and make some plays, it's a good pick, flat out.
You can hear the text line blowing up on my end of things. We have so many thoughts to get to. Discussing the draft the entire show long today, Junie and I have a lot of thoughts on Peter Skoronski, Will Levis, Tajay Sharp, and what will the Titans do today? And I think some Titans fans, even if you just need to be talked into, to let us know how we feel, it makes you feel better a little bit, because I think, you know, just let's wait until the entire draft pans out. Junie and I will discuss all on the other side. You're listening to Michelle and Junie on 102.5, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Welcome back in, Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3, the Game. As this has been pointed out on the text line, I'm so sorry, Titans fans. I said Tajay Sharp. Tajay Spears.
You said it, and then I said it. Listen, you got to understand, it's draft season. I was mixing up Darnell Wright and Darnell Washington for like the last 3 days. Okay.
Side note, Junie, the Steelers getting Darnell Washington. Woo!
All of Wingstop could feel my excitement last night. I'll put it to you that way. I wanted him to either go to the Titans. We talked about that last week, but the fact that he went to my Steelers is awesome. Woo! Is absolutely awesome. By the way, Steelers have been killing the draft. They've killed the draft.
As they always do, you know, a good organization. So, Titans fans, I'm sorry. I kept saying Tajay Sharp, who was a wide receiver here, but that is not him. It is Tajay Spears out of Tulane, running back. So I will not let myself do that again. And as soon as Nick told me, I was like, oh my gosh, I totally have. A lot of names rounding out here in the draft. But, you know, Junie, if we take a look at the text line, because as I said, we have a lot of fans weighing in this morning. They want to get their thoughts out there as we head into, you know, the fourth and the fifth and the sixth and the later rounds of this draft. So a couple texts on the text line. Okay, let's see. Sorry, I lost it here. Okay, here we go. Rob on the text line. We as fans have no idea what's going on inside the room or the building. We don't know who's going to be released. We don't know who's happy in the locker room, who's willing to take a pay cut. We don't know all the ins and the outs. Most importantly, what we do know is their plan. It's their plan. A fan's job is to support the team. And Rob, to Rob's point, because I agree with some of it, I agree with, you know, we don't know right now. I completely understand that, you know, when you see these picks and you realize, okay, they really, really need wide receiver help. They've needed wide receiver help since they lost AJ Brown exactly a year ago. They've needed wide receiver help. But to the earlier texter's point, if you've rated a guy that he's a fifth or a sixth round pick, you're not just going to draft him in the third round because you need a wide receiver. Junie, you mentioned the wide receiver out of Cincinnati who got drafted before Tajay Spears in this draft, and you said he was a guy who couldn't stay healthy, right? So if that's an option that's being drafted before them, I mean, you don't want a player like that. That's why, you know, when you weigh need and best player available, it's really important that you don't try to reach for a guy so you can get the most value out of every pick in every round that you have.
Well, and that's the thing, Michelle, is that this guy didn't miss any time. with his injury. Like, he played the full season without his ACL. You know, he completed in the Senior Bowl. He's done everything. Like, nothing has limited him. It's all about the future. And when you get a guy with a lot of upside, which I think if he didn't have all the ACL stuff, I think he would have likely been a second round pick, in my opinion. But I just think with his playmaking ability, it's a low risk, it's a high reward for a couple years. And if he comes in and he's good for three or four seasons, I think that's a good grab. I think it's a good grab and a good transition. You know, running backs don't really last long. Most guys, after their first contract, are kind of like rotational pieces. They kind of move on. They usually don't get big money. So you get a guy with a lot of upside, get a few years out of him. If he's healthy, that's great. If not, so what? But I just don't think there's a lot of high-end receivers that people should be worried about. And I think the Titans will definitely be looking, you know, this offseason for people getting cut. You know, there might be some trade options. You just never know. Options are going to be out there, and receivers are plentiful. So you can find other guys out there, and there's already young players that were rookies last year that still have a lot of meat on the bone that they can get this season and take that next step going into their second year.
And I think one of the players that it's going to be pivotal for him to take that next step is Treylon Burks, Junie.
Oh, it's a story of the offseason.
He's a guy we talked about, you know, coming into training camp, the transition from college football to the NFL. They have no idea what they're about to walk into. You know, they are training to do the best at these combine skills, but then when you get into the NFL and when you get into training camp, like, it's completely different. And we saw that last year. Treylon Burks struggled. That's not a surprise to anybody, right? Couldn't stay on the field. He had trouble keeping up. He needed to condition more. All of these things played a factor. But then I think one of the promising things that you can see is when Treylon Burks was out with a concussion halfway through the season, Mike Vrabel went out of his way at the podium and Todd Downing went out of his way at the podium to say, you know, Treylon Burks has been in every meeting. He's been locked in. He's been doing everything he can do to make sure that he can be back out on the field next year. And I think it's important, too, to remember that Treylon Burks' injuries, they weren't a soft tissue injury, which this team has struggled with in a David Long Jr. and a Christian Fulton, the nagging groin or hamstring issues. Treylon Burks had a concussion, which you can't avoid those in the NFL when you're banging into guys every single day. And he had turf toe. Right. So these aren't injuries that are soft tissue and things that you can try to avoid. These are injuries that come with playing the game of football. So when it comes to, you know, Treylon Burks, I believe that, you know, he will show up prepared. He knows what it is like now to go through an entire NFL season and what it's like to go through a training camp. And he's gotten that first year of, okay, what is it like to be thrown into a completely different life? But as you said, Junie, he's going to be the biggest story. Nobody can do it for him other than himself. So if he can take another jump, and I think we did see some like really explosive plays from him last year, right? We saw it in glimpses. So if there can be somewhat of a consistency from Treylon Burks in addition to playing the entire season. And I go back to Kyle Phillips. I understand he got hurt in the first game last year, but he had the most chemistry with Ryan Tannehill in that Giants game. Ryan Tannehill led a two-minute drive down the field, and he threw it to Kyle Phillips every single time. The question is, did Kyle Phillips get bigger? Is he going to get hurt? Is he going to be able to play in the NFL because of his size?
I mean, that is to be told. And like you mentioned, when they come in, everything is a bit thrown at these young receivers, and they have to adapt. They have to learn the NFL game. They have to learn how to prep, to schedule, to get their playbook down, and also to, you know, get their bodies right. You know, Treylon Burks didn't come in shape. Kyle Phillips didn't come in with the size and the durability to make it in this league. He was a smaller frame guy. And we saw him light it up in training camp before the pads got on. And when they did get on, injuries became the issue for him. So it's pivotal on these guys to come in and take this offseason in order to really get themselves in the right mindset, prepared, studied up on the new playbook that they're going to have with Tim Kelly, and also to get their bodies in the best shape. I've seen it year in and year out. You know, rookies come in unexpected. You see some flashes from them, and really year two is indicative of what they're going to be. If they go into a sophomore slump, that can really set them back. But if they come out, they got their bodies right, they're ready, they've learned how to become a pro, and they take that jump, that can project them into a higher stratosphere. And that's what we really have to see. I have all the faith in Chika Conquo. I think he is going to be a really, really good receiving tight end in the NFL. Like I said, he barely got the ball for the first half of the season, and like and he at the end of the year he was up there with your Robert Woods and your Treylon Burks when it came to yardage. So you know there's a lot of young unproven players that are catching the ball on this team. There are going to be other players available. This year was not the best year to try and go out and find a receiver. And for me personally, trading for a guy like DeAndre Hopkins and paying $20 million. For a player in his 30s past his prime is just not worth it. So I think they should stick where they are. Kyle Phillips was a fifth or sixth round pick last year. Go and try and find a guy with some upside that you think that you can coach up and go into training camp and see what falls because something will be available. And the Titans can't rebuild all their holes in one offseason, all right? It's not just going to be an overnight flick of the switch kind of thing. We've got to see what these young players can do. You've got to give them the opportunity to grow and to learn, and that only comes with experience.
And I think an important note to mention there, Junie, is when John Robinson got fired halfway through the season, this team lost 7 games in a row. This team was in shambles. So for a new GM coming in order to completely overhaul the team, that's a tall, tall task. But I think a silver lining to look at is there are two other rookie quarterbacks in the AFC South right now who are going to have to start. You have the luxury of having a rookie quarterback, having a veteran quarterback on the last year of his deal, having some veteran players who their deals are expiring, but also getting some young guys who you think can benefit from a year playing behind them and getting to just be in this culture. And also too, if you are unsure about Tajay Spears, I urge you to go watch the tape of the USC Tulane game, the bowl game, because I think it'll get you very, very hyped up. You talk about an explosive player in the backfield, and that's what you're getting in Tajay Spears. Also, something to mention, I know the ACL has been brought up. He did not miss a game last year. So that's obviously very good heading into this season. Coming up next, Junie and I are going to reset the conversation. We're going to talk about Peter Skoronski. We're going to talk about Will Levis, Tajay Spears, and what could they do in the draft moving forward as we round out draft weekend. You're listening to Michelle and Junie, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.